I grew up in a country where Social Security was just there. It was a part of our lives. We understood. When you work, you pay in. The person that employs you pays in. And when you retire, it's there. It's just taken for granted. We don't even think much about the connection. Who made it? Who created it? Who caused it? How it works? We don't think much about that. It's just part of American life. And I mention the story today simply because there are other parts of the world where this is a totally foreign notion to them, that you would have some basic device at the end of your working life that allows you to have a decent retirement. That's what Social Security is. The Social Security system is the fabric of that guarantee. Now, how did we get it? How did we create it? Well, through a massive public debate, during which many people said, this is socialism. This is pure socialism. This is the worst instincts of the Democratic Party, this Social Security nonsense. Well, of course it wasn't. And it's always been there. It was a useful, necessary, important program for America's elderly that has, I think, invested in the right way and caused a compact between those who work and those who retire that has made life in this country better for tens of millions of Americans, year in and year out. We ought to be proud of this program. This program works. This program works in the past and works in the future for this country. And we always ought to understand that. Now, we come to this point in America's history where after a couple of hundred years of government, self-government, and incidentally a couple of hundred of the most successful years of any similar attempted government known to humankind. There's no other reasonably similar approach to government that's been tried as successfully as this anywhere in recorded human history. A couple of hundred years, we've had fights, public policy, back and forth. And during this time, we created some things, one of which was Social Security, a Social Security program. Now, during the last 15 or 20 years or so, this country's fiscal policy, that is the spending and taxing decisions and the system by which we decide how much to spend and how much to tax, has gotten off track and out of balance. And this country has begun to rack up very large budget deficits. Now, the budget deficits are not accidental. They are a function of the Congress and the President proposing to spend what the people largely want. And the tax consequences of that are the Congress and the President largely reluctant to raise the money sufficient to cover all of that. So what has been the result? The result has been that the Congress and the Presidents, in about the first 200 years or so, up till 1980, had spent $900 billion more over all of the years in this country's existence, $900 billion more than it had taken in. In other words, it charged to a charge account $900 billion because it spent money that it didn't have, starting with the beginning of the United States of America to the year 1980. Now, from the year 1980 to the year 1995, in the month of February, this country added to that charge account. It isn't any longer $900 billion. It is now nearly $4.8 trillion. So in nearly 200 years, the country spent $900 billion it didn't have and charged it to future generations. And then in 15 years, it added somewhere around $3.9 trillion and said, by the way, charge this too. Put it on the same account. Now, what do we face in the future? Well, if you look at what the government does, Medicare, Medicaid, and a whole series of spending decisions and revenues, and take a look at what the Congressional Budget Office says will be the consequence of the current system and the current spending levels, you'll find that we will add, if nothing is done, about $4.4 trillion to the same charge account in the next 10 years. Except, it'll be more than $4.4 trillion. Because we got some in this chamber who say, let's do two additional things. Let's increase defense spending and build Star Wars, which is one of the goofiest ideas I've ever heard in my entire life. Let's now resurrect SDI or Star Wars at a time when there's no Soviet Union. But, you know, leaving that aside, let's increase defense spending and let's cut our revenue. So it will not be $4.4 trillion to be added to this charge account, added to the already $4.8 or $4.9 trillion. So you're talking close to $10 trillion. It'll be more than that. Does anybody think that represents the right future for this country? I don't. Most of the constituents I know don't believe it does. So the question is, what will intervene to change it? Will it be six people of goodwill finding a vacant room back here with a clean sheet of paper and making plans, scurrying around, making little plans on how to balance the budget? I don't think so. It's not happened in the past. It'll be people representing what their constituents are saying. Make sure you keep these programs now. We don't want to lose programs, but we don't want to pay taxes either. We don't want you to increase. In fact, we'd like you to cut taxes. So we've got the Republicans and the Contract for America saying, let's cut taxes. In fact, let's do it even a little better. Let's cut taxes mostly for the well-to-do. And then we've got some Democrats saying, well, let's have also a middle-income tax cut, slightly less and differently targeted. But it's the same approach, basically. And in the midst of all this, then comes a notion that we should amend the United States Constitution to require a balanced budget. Now, I didn't come here thinking that was the necessary thing to do. I think it's pretty hard for us to improve on the work of Washington and Mason and Franklin and Jefferson and others. So I didn't think we should amend the Constitution for the first few years I came to Washington, but I've changed my mind about that. I don't think for a moment that it will cause one penny's difference in our future budgets by itself. It's a bunch of words that someone's going to write into the Constitution. Everybody here who will vote for this understands it will not cause one penny's difference in the budget deficit. It may ratchet up slightly more pressure for decision making to be completed by both the House and the Senate that will lead, we hope, toward a balanced budget. That may be what happens. If that happens, then I'm for anything that turns up the heat, anything that ratchets up the pressure. Because frankly, we can't continue going down this road. There must be a reconciliation in this country between what we spend and who we spend it for and what this country is willing to pay for.